Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We must choose to agree that the resurrection of Jesus was not a one-time event, but rather an ongoing experience that prevails in the life of believers. Knowing the power of the resurrection will focus our attention on Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise of everything that the kingdom stands for. There is no greater power than what was witnessed 2,000 years ago on Easter Sunday morning. There is no greater power. What does that mean? Here's some questions for us. First of all, are you willing to accept the claim of Jesus being the resurrection of things in your life that you thought were dead? I start off with a question like that because I believe there's some things that God is going to resurrect in your life today that you thought were dead. Rather than have the resurrection as a one-time event, I believe there's something powerful that Jesus wanted to show us that of the things of what Jesus has already stated and forestated, and we're going to get into the depth of that, that Jesus had already told them that he was going to be resurrected. What are you doing at the grave? What are you doing with spices? We'll ask those questions in a few minutes. Here's the second question. Will you allow the power of the resurrection to remove the power of sin in your life through justification by faith? That was that word I asked you about last week, justification. And we're going to get a more greater explanation on that. But through justification by faith. And here's number three. Are you willing to learn to walk by faith of what Jesus said rather than what you believe you saw? Let me just launch off on that in just a moment. I believe, this is just a personal belief, hopefully I can persuade you into this particular camp, that one of the reasons why they showed up at the grave of Jesus is they believed more of what they saw on the cross of Jesus being crucified than they believed of what Jesus told them what was going to happen of him being resurrected. I think a lot of times we try to believe, but at the same time the unbelief will take us to a grave that was empty before we got there. But we still go through the motions because of who we are. While the power of resurrection rests upon the words of Jesus, let's go into John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. So it's a long little dialogue, but we'll get through it quickly. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Now, that sounds like a statement of faith. Wouldn't you say that? Even though, you know, God will give it to you. But then, the fact is, Lazarus is dead at this point. And so it's almost like wishful thinking, or he said, well, I kind of ought to believe this. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." That's what Jesus said. But you know, Lazarus is still in the grave, and let's deal with this whole issue. And so Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That was her honest and true belief. "Well, I know, he's dead, but the resurrection, he's going to rise again." There are some things you put off into the future that God wants to have happen right now. That you've got it under someday, somehow, some way, but God's saying it's going to happen in your life today. The thing you thought was going to be far in the future, God wants to do it in your life today. What about that? Amen. Well, Martha said, and here we go. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." That is an interesting, I wouldn't call it interesting so much, but it's so final that it has an effect on us that all hope is gone. And I have a story I'll share with you in a little bit, but the idea about the whole death experience and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What? How can I? I've never seen this happen before. How many of you are sometimes victimized by things you've never seen happen before? And you say, "Well, I want to believe it. I don't think it's going to happen." Just be honest. I've never seen it before. All right, here's a question. I'll stop asking questions. I'll give you a quality. Anybody ever seen anybody raised from the dead? Raise your hand. One, two, a couple people. Okay, that's not bad. There's maybe about five of you. Quick story. I remember it was in 1959. I was in a little church across town. One of my heroes, the lady that believed in me as far as music was concerned, we were at a Wednesday night service, and all of a sudden she had this massive whatever it was, and she died. This is back before the days of 911. This was back before the days of cell phones. This was back before the days where you could get automatic help. It's like she basically was in her pew. She keeled over and she died. And people were wailing and carrying on and all this stuff, chaos was going on. And so somehow, my grandfather was pastor of the church. He says, you know what, saints, we need to pray. And I'm thinking, pray? The woman's dead. He said, we need to pray. This isn't the end of the story. And all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, but it was like a wind from the power of heaven came in that place. And even though she was laid out there, people began to pray. They began to call on Jesus. And I'm kind of like, I'm you know, pretty young. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And don't you know, these eyes saw this woman come back to life, sit up, got up, and began to dance and praise God. He said, what? God does things like that. Even beyond your disbelief, God can do amazing things. But here we are in the story here. And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Yeah. He says, all right. So that's as far as we can go. I believe you're the Christ that came into the world. But we got to take a step further than that. Let's look at this. Death is no challenge to the resurrecting power of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Though you were dead, you can live again. But before Jesus went to the cross, he had the power of life over life and death. And Martha made a presumptive statement regarding Jesus' absence being the cause of Lazarus' death. Somehow, she wasn't privy to the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples before he even showed up on the scene. And so the earlier part of the story, I don't want to get into that story because it'll take away from what we're doing. But Jesus made a declaration to his disciples when he went to the city where Lazarus was. That he says, you know, Lazarus is sick. And this is, he says, Lazarus is dead. What you going there for? When the resurrection shows up, death is no challenge to the resurrected one. Any presumptive or assumptive assumption that we make concerning Jesus must be tested against our faith of who we believe Jesus to be. If he says he's the resurrection and the life, I believe there are many of you that are sitting here right now that have something in your life that you believe to be dead that you want him to resurrect. Don't lift your hands, lift your faith, because God's about to do something miraculous. Well, when Jesus gives his word, he's the final authority over any situation. We must learn to listen to the words that Jesus has spoken to us. What does that mean? It means that we must choose to live by faith in what we hear from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. On top of that, we should not allow our circumstances to rule over our life through things we experience in everyday life. I know all of us, and myself included, have many times given up too quickly. Yes. Yes. Kind of through, well, it's really not working, so you just kind of move on to something else. Oh, it's dead. Just leave it alone. I believe that God's going to show us something. Well, I'm the resurrection and the life is the most powerful statement Jesus ever made. He said, what? Because he wasn't saying it for a situation of Lazarus. He's saying it for every situation you'll ever face in life. Jesus says there are things that are going on in your life right now. I want to resurrect. And if you only put your trust and confidence in me, you're going to see that happen. Well, this statement is for all time in regards to the resurrection power of Jesus. But Jesus made this statement before the cross. He's giving a prophecy of what's going to happen. And somehow it's kind of fuzzy in their mind because If you've never seen anyone resurrected from the dead, especially if someone who's been to a cross, that is just a total impossibility. It doesn't register. It can't get through. Well, I don't want to get us into some ideology or some theology that it doesn't have any foundation in the Spirit of God. When you talk about death, that means that the life is no longer a possibility to cause it to perform like it did once before. Ever had a dead battery in your car? Pray all you want to, but that baby ain't going nowhere. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on. But then again, there are supernatural things that God can do that we'll never be able to explain. Amen. How did that thing get turned around? Something that you gave up on and walking away from it, all of a sudden it had life in it that you didn't know anything about. Well, physical death is no hindrance to the resurrection power of Jesus. It is the Spirit that gives life. John chapter 6, verses 63 and 64. This is great. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Let me stop at that one particular verse. You people over here, you look real spiritual this morning. There are words that the Lord has spoken to you that some of you are afraid to believe because they don't make any sense. That at this point, there's no evidence to back it up. So you just kind of say, well, could be, could not. But then at one point you said, but you really felt it was God. But then again, you don't want to take the risk of being wrong. I'll leave you folks there. I'm going to go over these folks. They seem like they can take a little. You folks over here, you are convinced that God told you something, and you told someone it was going to happen, and it hasn't happened yet, and now you're starting to doubt what God told you because it hasn't happened in your time frame. Oh boy, you're going to learn something today. Dear Jesus, let me get to the next verse. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Jesus can say something to you, and you get to choose whether you're going to believe it or not. Question is, if you don't believe it, does that make it not true? Oh, this is going to get good. Praise Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, we must choose to listen and obey and follow his word. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was based on all types of impossibilities. He's at a wedding. They run out of wine. He tells his mom about it. He says, really, that's not my problem. But then she says, she didn't get offended. She says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. One of the reasons why things aren't happening in your life is Jesus will tell you to do something that to you, it doesn't make any sense. And if you want your water turned to wine, you're going to take some water, put it in a jug, and not ask Jesus any questions if you really want to have the wine. And so his mother has you know, confidence. She says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That same word that was spoken then, I want to tell you, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Stop asking questions, believe it's Jesus, and do what he told you to do if you want the miracle. So, incidentally, fill the thing with water. Water comes out. Water turns to wine. Successful. And I wondered, why would Jesus decide to intoxicate people? It was just a question. Because, see, people, the real spiritual folks, you know, the teetotalers said, it was probably just grape juice. It was Welch's. I'm sure it was Welch's. Unfermented Welch's. The head of the feast says, this is the best wine we had all night. So I'm going to tell you right now, there was a buzz. Ooh, I'm going to help you, sanctified folk. The words of our flesh will never be profitable. In other words, every word that Jesus speaks brings forth life and resurrection to things that we thought were dead. They thought the party was over. Jesus had something else. Let me move on to another aspect of this. We must commit to memory the things that Jesus says to us. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to review this again because there's some powerful things in this statement. Now, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord. Yeah, go on to the next few verses. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" How'd they know? I mean, how'd they know what these gals were thinking? Sometimes Jesus gives us a hint as to what's happened. The stone is rolled away. And so Jesus says, "I'm going to rise from the dead." Stone is rolled away. The immediate thing is, Jesus isn't alive. He's no longer in the tomb. We got to go and check it out. Did he really get up? Or is this something I made up? Let me help you with this. Taking things to heart that Jesus speaks must be done through the power of the Spirit, which means if they really believed that Jesus told them what Jesus told them, they would not have brought spices to the grave. What are you bringing spices for? To somebody who said they wasn't going to be there. It's like you baking me a cake and you know I'm not going to be home. Oh, we made a dinner for you. We got brought this dinner for you. I know you're not going to be home, but I'm going to leave it on the porch. Don't leave it on the porch. My neighbors will be in touch. That dinner's going to be gone. The emotion of what we witnessed 3 days prior was still in effect in their actions. Do you know why you bring spices? Because you're locked into what you saw on the cross. You're locked into a man who took his last breath and gave up the ghost. And in your mind, he's got to be in that tomb. And so you're saying to yourself, at least I can do is pay my respects and bring these spices. Now, here's kind of an interesting thing. I kind of get beyond what I see written, and you help me with this. You're bringing spices to in one account it says, well, yeah, we're going to put the spices there, but who's going to roll the stone away? Seriously? You bring spices, you're already showing that you don't believe, that you believe he's dead, and now you realize, this is going to be a problem. Mary, I don't think I can do it. It seems more than me. Why we do the things we do. Bringing spices to a grave of someone we love is an act of kindness, but you know what it's founded on? Unbelief. I think sometimes we cover up our unbelief by trying to do good things or trying to do things that seem like we're honoring the individual. But going to Jesus' tomb was an act to verify what they believed their eyes had witnessed. Engage your neighbor in this one. Just look him right straight in the eye and tell him this. Don't go there. Say, what? I'm going to tell you what you just said, what I meant for you to say with that. Don't go to the grave. Remember what Jesus told you. The only reason why you'll go to the grave is you didn't believe what Jesus told you. If anything, and there's a tendency, I know I'd probably be one of those in the grave. I'll be honest with you. because it seems far beyond my belief. But what I want to start a conversation with you about is remember what Jesus told you and let your actions be in accordance to what he told you, not in accordance to what you saw 3 days ago. The impact of what we see oftentimes will influence our behavior. And so we're going to the gravesite, and you know what we're expecting to see? We're expecting to see Jesus. In spite of what he told you, he said, oh, by the way, 3 days, I'm leaving. But you say, is he really going to be gone? Hang with me for a few more minutes, and I think we can come to some conclusions. Before Jesus went to the cross and all the things that he said, he prepared us for some actions that were going to take place. Well, we often live in denial that is fueled by our own need to verify what we honestly believe in spite of the words that were spoken that say we must trust and believe. You know what Jesus said, but there's something inside of you that just won't let go and let you believe it's true. So what you're going to do, and I'm not going to say I wouldn't be one of those that go to the graveside. I honestly can't say for sure 100% that I just sit and wait, you know, in the upper room for Jesus to appear. I might have gone down there too. But I'm going to help all of us to move from that particular place to a new area of believing Jesus. Well, when the woman chose to go to the grave, it was an act of courage dealt with by grief. And this is one of the things, the grieving processes oftentimes will cause us to do things that really, you know, we're so overcome with the very fact that resurrection and life do not appear in our hearts. It's an experience we've never had before. Well, what does that mean? It means that perplexity of the women experiencing an empty grave could only be rationalized by the sight that they thought, and this is how they resolved it. Somebody stole his body. See, it goes from one area of unbelief or disbelief or whatever. Oh, his body's not here. Could you tell me where they laid Jesus? Somebody stole his body. They still don't remember what Jesus said, that I'm not going to be there. I want to move you from being stuck in the reality of what you think is possible to the realm of what Jesus told you, and regardless of what you say, is rather how, oh, that's right. Jesus said he's going to raise them, and then just happily just skip off down and say, could you tell me where they lay Jesus' body? Wow. You know what this tells me? Is they still didn't believe what Jesus said. We seek the living among the dead, whom we forget what he told us. Let's look at exactly what Jesus said to them. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 33. This is good. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Anybody confused by that? This is what it's saying. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, here we go. But when he had turned around, he looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Just hold that up there for a moment. Anything confusing about what Jesus said? Any loaded sentences, any secret words, any secret, you know, interpretation? So he tells them he's going to be abused and this type of thing, but he's going to rise again. As much as I want to vilify Peter, I'm not going to do it. Because he did probably what most of us would have done. Oh, this has never happened to you, Jesus. Oh, we'll get a team together. We'll defend you. And you know what Jesus said? Get behind me, And Peter, you're being used of the devil. Now, I know this may seem kind of harsh, but I want you to watch what I'm about to say in these next few moments. That anytime we receive something contradictory to what Jesus said, we are aligning ourselves with the devil. Amen. Jesus says this, the devil says that. Who are you going to believe? Well, I want to believe the Lord. We want to believe we're so spiritual, but we're not. Because oftentimes that Jesus says things, they don't align with what our nature as a human being works with. So in these next few moments, I want to help us with that. What does it mean? It means that Peter thought he was going to be Jesus' protector. This is never going to happen. I'm going to keep, me and the guys, we're going to put an armor system around you and nobody's going to get to you. Really? No. Jesus rebuked him and let him know his thoughts and ideas were promoted by Satan and not by God. You know, if you really look at it, if Peter had been successful in convincing Jesus not to go to the cross, you and I would not have salvation. That's when he said, excuse me, but you are being used by the devil right now. I know what I've come to do. And even though it may not be pretty, this is what God has for me. Well, Jesus declared that the Father would receive glory through his death. John chapter 12, verse 27 and verses 31-32. This is great. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Here's humanity. And there's a lot of things that I've gone through and so have you. That you know that purposefully, in order for God's will to be accomplished in our life, you're going to have to go through some stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may not like it, it may not feel good, but in the midst of it all, you know this is something that God has appointed for me, even though it seems horrible. It seems like the worst thing. We're going to redeem this in a moment, but here's how it works. Now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. This is the judgment of this world. The ruler of this world will be cast out. There are some things that you have to go through in order for the ruler of the world to be cast out of your life. And it's going to be some hard things. I'm going to mention a few things that maybe some of you may find controversial. It's not that you had to go through drug addiction, but God saved you through drug addiction. You didn't have to go through it, but God saved you in spite of it. You didn't have to go through a divorce, but God saved you in spite of the divorce. See, some of you feel like, I need to have the perfect Pollyanna life. I'm sorry, but it wouldn't have worked for you. Sometimes you have to go through some stuff to find out that Jesus is the only answer for your life. Some of you are bearing marks in your flesh right now, but I'll tell you what, without those marks, you never would have met Jesus. Oh no, it was just because I was stupid and I was young. Yeah, that's part of it. But that ain't all of it. Well, on top of that, in spite of how his soul was feeling, Jesus declared his purpose over his problem. That means he knew that his obedience would result in the ruler of this world being cast out, and the cross was the one thing that would draw all men to his kingdom. I don't have time to do all the stuff that's related to the cross, but I will tell you this much. We must stop looking for life in the things that Jesus paid for by his death. Oh, I'm going to say that. I like this. I like that. Unfortunately, we look for life in things that bring death. Success, power, authority. I think, well, that certainly will be the thing that will bring my life into order. The people will respect me, they'll honor me, they'll think I'm worth a lot of different things. And I want to let you know, that is not what's going to save you. It's not even going to help you. When Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, we were no longer slaves to the things that were taking our life. That means simply this: condemnation and guilt were dealt with once and for all on the cross. The Bible says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're feeling condemned right now, I'll tell you what, it's because the devil is trying to take you back to where you once were. Because once you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt, there's no shame, because he's dealt with that. And we'll get to that word in just a moment that tells you once and for all. Well, it's important for us that the condemnation and guilt, our past sins, have been dealt with forever. John 14:1, this is one of the favorite scriptures, I think, is that we must choose to remember all of the words and promises that Jesus has made to those who believe. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. It's an interesting word, and the reason why Jesus said this, obviously you know this, you've probably heard it many, many times. But the powerful word there is let. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. So how do you do that? By casting out unbelief in what God already told you, what Jesus already said. Remember what Jesus said. And when Jesus said, he said, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. But somehow we forget. Or we forget that he says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. If there's trouble coming into your life and you become troubled by trouble, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. Are you going to believe what Jesus said, I'm with you always, or are you going to believe the trouble? It feels like you're abandoned. It feels like you're alone. It feels like God doesn't care. Your feelings will get you in a very bad place. I don't feel that God loves me. And Jesus says, I love you with an everlasting love. Don't let circumstances circumvent the power of what Jesus says. A troubled heart is one that has forgotten the promises of God. I'm going to show you just a practical way to do this. If it's next week and you're worried about finances, go to the Word of God and see what God said about he's going to be your provider. And I want you to take the scripture about that and read it out loud. My God shall supply all your need. Yes. Then you say it to yourself, my God shall supply all my need. Yes. Take the Word of God and apply it to the situation of what Jesus said, and guess what? Your heart won't be troubled. Amen. Start applying the Word of God to the situation. Don't start making up stuff. You don't have to make up stuff. It's already in there. Take it out. Put it in your life because it's for you. Well, let me wind this up. The power of Christ's resurrection is evident in our lives as believers. Going back to Philippians, where we were last week, and I'll tie it all together. Verses 8 and 9 says this: yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Hold on for that. I'll leave that up there. If you lost everything you have, every relationship that you have, and still have Christ, it'll be worth it. Amen. What? I just received a message this morning from some dear friends of mine over in Africa, which I'll be going, Lord willing, in September. But they sent me a little note. They said, one of the people that you know here, one of our students, Bible students here, he was out in the wilderness or area over there. Everything over there is wilderness to me. I'm thinking, ooh, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And he was out there and he was just, you know, and he ate the wrong fruit. The fruit was poisoned and he died. And he says, well, so pray for us. We're kind of grieving over that. And then the cook that was in the kitchen the other day, she was cooking dinner for all of us folks, and a snake came in and bit her, and she almost died. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, and I'm going over there? Jesus, help me. What am I doing? glory to God. Suffer the loss of all things. I count them but rubbish that I'm in. Your glory to God. Glory. And be found in him not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of which is from God by faith. I count it all as nothing, but rather to know Christ. Anything we have lost in order to know Christ is worth losing. I know every single one of us has lost something before. And it's usually at a very inconvenient time. Lose the keys to your car. Oh, Lord Jesus. But you know what? The keys aren't lost. You are. Because they're right where you put them. The only thing you've lost is your memory. They've gone nowhere. Don't blame the keys. But let me go to the other side of the equation. How did you feel when you found that which was not lost? Stupid. Oh, Lord Jesus. Christ's resurrection is a personal experience. His resurrection takes place in the hearts of those who choose to believe him. And we gain knowledge of Christ through faith in his word. That word I threw out at you last week, justification, is the verdict of God over our sins. Here's the thing you need to know. Number one, he doesn't see any sin in you. You're thinking, what? Amen. Is he blind? But he doesn't. But that's by faith in the word of God working in your life. All of the obedience he requires has been accomplished through Jesus. Remember, he did it all for us. We become heirs to eternal life through our belief in Jesus' finished work in you. Which means the resurrection of Jesus is the power of new life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. This is great. If then you have been raised up with Christ, if you have been, seek the things which are above. That's what you need to seek, for Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Is that the word of God? So what you're doing, going for a witch hunt on all your sins? You're seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Fix your hopes on him. And not on you. That's what justification really means. We didn't delight in doing the will of God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives and abides in us. Here's the last scripture about being born again. The power of the resurrected Christ lives in us through the born again experience. Now, the assumption is that everybody's in here born again. Maybe not. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I'll read it real quickly. There was a certain man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, what we know that you are a teacher come from God, that no one can do these things do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can I be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel what I said to you, you must be born again. I said, well, we get it. No, you don't. I said, why would you say that? Because being born of the spirit is more than just a hand wave. It's a belief locked into everything that Jesus said as being absolutely true. The resurrection of power abides in the heart of those who are born again by the power of the Spirit that believe every word he said. The illustration is this. She was one of the Salvation Army people. I've used this illustration many times before. And so, person asks this lady, are you saved? Her response was, indeed I am, sometimes but not yet. Oh, doesn't that sound promising? Indeed I am, sometimes but not yet. Indeed I am is saying, are you saved or are you born again? Is indeed I am, according to the word of God, I put my hope and my confession of hope in Jesus Christ, and indeed I am. I believe everything he says as being true. Now, if that's your position in Christ, you are indeed saved, born again. You know Jesus by the power of the Spirit. But if you're asking me, am I saved from the power of sin? Sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I listen to the wrong voice. Sometimes I respond to the wrong calls. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know the right thing to do, but somehow you go to the left. Come on, work with me, folks. Don't look like you all sanctified. Sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I forget to eat my muffin in the morning. I get a little crazy and I have to lay out on the floor a little while. Come on, work with me, people. But you know something? I had my muffin this morning, and I feel all right. My point is, we will make mistakes, but we don't have to live in that mistake. Once we know better, we need to act better. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me get to the not yet point. But there's coming a day when I see him face to face, that all that is sin today will be done away with. And when I'm in the presence of God, that all the things of this world will be passed away. Worship team, make your way up here. I'm about to quit. If you don't make it up here, I'll keep on going. I want to tell you today, the power of the resurrected Christ is available in your life from now forevermore. What does that mean? There's a song that was written by the Elevation Group, and it was powerful. It's so powerful. It talks about, and it's, and actually, I took a few pieces from it for the statement that I had you make. It's called Resurrection. And here's some lyrics from it that I think will help all of us. One of the lines from the song Resurrection says, "By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. For the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive. I declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me." You know what? The resurrecting King is resurrecting us this morning with the reality of knowing that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away and everything is brand new. But I want to tell you some things that God is going to resurrect in you. It's a hope that you no longer have to live under the cloud of disparagement over things and mistakes that you've made. That God is about to bring you to a place of resurrecting some of the things that you thought were dead that'll never happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want to say some things to you. Without knowing everyone's business, without even wanting having people to acknowledge this. Some of you are living in a dead space or realize that you thought your life was over because of some of the things you went through. There are sins you've committed that you say, well, that was a death knell. I'll never be able to be used because of God because of this. Or because of some decisions that I made that I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed of. If people knew that about me, I don't think anyone would want to be around me. But I want you to begin to say in your spirit, by his spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Because a resurrected king is going to resurrect me today. I want to go to the grave of the place where you find yourself, where you don't see any way out, where you see yourself locked into an identity that you don't need to claim. Because Jesus, in that born-again experience, is giving you an opportunity to leave those things aside. Some of you believe that because of certain mistakes you made, that Jesus doesn't want you, or he'll never use you, or you'll never reach your potential. I need to pray into your spirit and pray over that situation right now. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask a question to those of you who want to be set free and be resurrected to who all Jesus wants you to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast out the demons. I cast out the devil that has told people that they're worthless, that they're useless, that one mistake or several mistakes he made disqualifies them from ever being used, for ever being loved, for ever being brought into the kingdom of God. Lord, there are people who still haven't forgiven themselves for abuses that they did to other people, or even forgiven themselves for being a victim of abuse. They feel like they're just damaged goods and can never be used. Lord, I somehow connected with people here that who have lied, who've stolen, who've cheated, who've been unfaithful to their spouse or their girlfriend or whatever, and said if they knew, they'd certainly cast me out. And I'm living under the cloud, not only of embarrassment, of fear of being discovered. Jesus, I cast out fear. I pray that you could resurrect them to new life today of saying that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, they can leave it behind. And Lord, there's a real big one in here today. Lord, I want to offer this to people who have, including myself at times, been disbelieving of what Jesus has told us. And then we came to a place and we so doubted what he told us that we had to look for more evidence and more proof that it's really true. Lord, in the weeks to come, I want to teach on your word to the degree that we'll believe everything you said. And for people that are here today that need to have their hope renewed in Jesus, Lord, would you please bring them to a place of humility where they're willing to confess it. I really want to know him and the power of his resurrection that will resurrect everything that's been dead in me to new life in Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there are people here today that they want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus over the things that are going on in their life. If that's you, whether you believe you were saved or not when you walk through these doors, or you've never given your life to Jesus, say, I want to believe everything that Jesus says being absolutely true. I want you to shoot those hands up in the air right now. So I need to believe him today. Leave it, put up there. Leave it, put it up there. 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 Leave it up there for a moment, because there's a few other people that are going to join you, that Jesus wants you to join that particular revolution of people that says, I'm going to believe everything that Jesus says in spite of my flesh. I want to believe God. Join these folks. Leave your hands up there for what other folks says, I want to do that. I want you to repeat after me. By your faith, I'm alive. From the ashes of defeat, for the resurrected king is resurrecting me. Now, Father, as we go home today, Lord, let that resurrection power live in us, thrive in us, come to a place of really rejoicing in all the things you have done in our lives. Let your power, let your anointing, let your Holy Spirit, as we learn your words, that when you said you're going to do everything you said you're going to do, you're going to do it. And Lord, we walk in that confidence, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. We give all praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.